The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike Botiff hanging out with you as you all, I'm sure, are trying to prepare for this winter storm, snowpocalypse that is on the way.
Are we already calling it snowpocalypse?
I don't know. I'm just throwing out stuff. I was told, I think it was my sister or someone I was talking to said that they went to the store just to get some pasta sauce because they were making pasta last night, and that the store was insane. And she wasn't
really.
Yeah, she said it was crazy. She ran into like a Publix or something and was saying how wild it was because I guess people are trying to prepare. She obviously was not. She just went a pasta sauce.
I was gonna say. I mean, what all are we doing here? Yeah, I haven't noticed like any crazies. I will say, I didn't go to the grocery store yesterday, but driving around, like, took the kids to dinner last night and just trying to do those things. Like, around 5, 6 o'clock, traffic was insane up in our area, North Fulton, kind of East Cobb area. And I said to my wife, I was like, I feel like it's insane because everybody's trying to knock out work right now because they don't know if they'll be at work the next couple of days. Like, I feel like most people are like, you know, usually Wednesday is not crazy, but I feel like everybody was kind of staying at work like a little extra longer to make sure they got everything wrapped up just in case they're not back in the office towards the end of the week. And obviously with my wife being in, you know, public education, I was kind of waiting over the last 24 hours for it to be announced that there's no school on Friday, but they have not yet announced any of those things. So see what all happens. But it hasn't crossed my mind, I guess, to go to the
store.
To go to the grocery store to get extra groceries? I don't know why.
Just the day, right? It's just Friday, right?
Right. I think it's just early on Friday.
Well, yeah. No, it's supposed to go through Friday and Saturday. Depending on the area where you're at, I mean, obviously.
The snow, yes.
Obviously, well, there's ice, too.
Ice is the bigger deal, yeah.
Well, the problem is we don't get snow. We get ice and then snow behind it, and so the snow covers up the ice and makes it twice as bad for people that are on the road because you don't know where it is and where it's not. And we don't have the number of salt trucks that many cities up north do. Although this is blanked up for me to say, but with as much criticism as we get about driving down here, I actually enjoy it when cities up north have debacles driving because they want to tell us, oh, you don't know how to drive in it. And then you see them sliding around, hitting, you know, going to the ditches and stuff. And I'm like, oh, who doesn't know how to drive in it now?
There you go with that term they again. All right. Two people on Twitter that want to talk trash.
No, there are a bunch of people up north. I've heard it. Dude, I have not, and I have people come down here and, yeah, but you guys down here don't know how
definitely
to drive.
It definitely happens. It's frustrating.
Amy ordered like a bunch of stuff on Tuesday for that Walmart order or whatever. And I come home the other day and there's just like all these
non-perishables.
I just go, where the hell are we going to put all this stuff? Like my deep freezer is full of Omaha steaks. So I don't have room.
I picture you ordering 100 MREs. Like, I don't know why. Like, you just come off as like a doomsday prepper.
No,
ready to eat.
But I keep a lot of meat in my freezer.
The old
space
station toothpaste meal.
I would think if this was something that you knew we were going to have snow for like weeks or something, then that would maybe explain people, stuff flying off the shelves. But if this is just through the weekend.
Well, yeah, it's a deal where
you don't know how.
We've also had that, and I don't know. I know, Mike, you were barely born. You were just in Florida, but the snowstorm back in March of, I think, 93 it was, where we were supposed to get a couple inches, and it turned into like 12. And we were stuck for a week at home. I remember walking to a convenience store. I think it was like maybe 5 days that we were stuck. And that was in March of that year. But we're you know, a couple of us on the street are joining forces, and we're all making sure we got a bunch of vodka. I went to the liquor store yesterday.
I thought you were talking back in 93, no, obviously.
You fast forward.
You're like, we go back to the convenience store. We're all, you know, joining forces, make sure we have vodka.
It's like one of the, it's like one of the first Yellowstone episodes of this year where it's like right now, and then all of a sudden it goes back 8 months.
Yeah, flashbacks.
And no one tells you. And yeah. You just have to figure it out on your own. But, Amy don't order us. So then I realized, like, I'm making chili this weekend. So I got to go get.
Yeah, did you find any venison?
I still do not have venison, so I'm going to have to go ground beef as it is right now. It's all right. I'll use a little bit of fire shower from the W sauce. It'll work out fine.
A little bit.
I got my fixings for that. I was like, I got to go to the liquor store. Got to get a handle of vodka. Like Tiff said, it's only a day, which means only a handle of vodka. I got plenty of whiskey or bourbon if I want to do. And I even bought a couple of bottles of wine. Wine on sale,
this
dude.
This guy loves to sell himself as just this, you know, he's going to get deep in the bottle. We all know that, you know, you'll take a shot of vodka maybe in your transfusion, and that'll be it.
I can drink all night.
You'll have one owl in and one transfusion, and it'll be all she wrote.
It's funny because, to your point, the vodka I can drink all night and stay up. The bourbon,
but you sleep?
I will take a nap.
How I am with tequila.
I'll take a couple of glasses of bourbon and be like, I'm going to go ahead and take a little nap over here. I'll be back in 2 hours.
Every time I try to have tequila or anything, like margarita, but any like tequila on the rocks, whatever it is, anytime I try to have tequila, I am lights out, dude. Like I am snoring within 20 minutes, it feels like. I can't handle that. That's like puts me in a snooze fest. So, yeah, but the bourbon, I'm good. The bourbon, yeah, I'm all right.
Two or three glasses, I like to take a nap. I'll come back to it an hour and a half later. I like to nap. I'm not going to lie. Napping is fun for me.
Are you that guy at the bar?
Yeah. That head start getting heavy while he's sitting there.
I can sleep everywhere, but that's normally back. But those were the days when you would drink like a six pack plus before you went out. Because I'd go to the bar with $20. I'm like, I got $20 cash.
Oh, come on.
Listen
to
me.
You were that guy?
Listen to me.
So you weren't buying the girls?
I was going to say one tip in his bartender for sure.
No, I'd always tip on it. Because you got to remember, it wasn't like $5 beers back then. This was like 15 years ago when inflation, you know, you could get a Coors Original 16 ounce for $2. I mean, I'm in. But you always tipped. It's a dollar a beer. You don't get more. If you're just opening a can or capping a lid, you get a dollar for the beer, dude. Well, you get money is when you make liquor drinks.
Yeah, if I'm at, yeah.
And no, 100%. I wasn't buying some girl a drink to go home with somebody else. I'm good, man. Unless you're committed, then you get drinks. No way. That's dumb. That's just wasting money.
Jeez.
No.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that portion of your life.
But man, you'd buy a
cake. Hey, you want to buy me a drink? No. Are you going home with me?
Are you committed?
You want a Coors Original?
Wow.
Have you committed to Squid Billy University?
Do you want a sweater?
I'm
want a t-shirt?
I'm not wasting money on you.
Wow.
This segment is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadleyBuys.com. All right, it's time now to hit the front page. All right, obviously all of our thoughts and prayers are out and to our friends out west who are dealing with the wildfires. I've texted a couple folks out there that I know just to make sure they were okay. Lots of people evacuating their areas. What a fire it spread to Hollywood Hills. But of course, East Palisades, I believe is where it...
Yeah, I was going to say the Palisades. I saw a video and it was... It was ruins. It was awful. It just looked brutal.
A lot of the places on the PCH, some of the places, I was looking at the maps. I'm like, man, I've been to some of those spots. And like, and then you look at some of my friends' videos on social media, and they're basically right near the fire at Hollywood Hills trying to get out. So obviously we say all that because there's a game which does not, you know, pales in comparison to what's going on out there with the Vikings and the Rams. So the NFL is monitoring the situation. And in a statement on Wednesday evening, they said that they continue to prepare for the game to be played at SoFi Stadium, but if it had to be moved, it would take place on Monday night at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, the home, of course, of the Arizona Cardinals. So it said, as with all games, there are contingency plans. In an event, a change in location is needed. That is what the league said in a statement.
Yeah, first and foremost, to your point, everything, it's not about moving the game. I will say this, when you talk about the game part, I hate it when they move the game to a completely neutral site like this. I mean, I think it's good for the L.A. because they don't have to go play in Minnesota, but it's going to be – it's not going to have the feel. It's still going to change the atmosphere of the game because there's going to be a lot of Rams fans that aren't going to be able to go to it if it's in Arizona.
The smoke in the area.
Yeah.
That's what, you know.
Well, look, and that's a weird stadium because it's closed, but it's open. And yeah. I'm talking about in L.A.
Yeah.
It's got the open on the ends, but it's
like
not
– carport.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good way to a pretty accurate way of putting it. But so it just kind of it sucks all the way around, really.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. You're right. Looking at the videos, pictures, everything else that's been on the socials, on the internet over the last couple of days, it's terrifying. I think it really brings it. It brings the big picture. Sometimes you just look at forests and you know the trees are on fire. You don't really get a great idea of what's going on, but. To see like Hollywood Hills with like high rises and in the fires in the background, that's yeah, that kind of brings it home, I think, for a lot of people that aren't familiar with the area. So seeing those pictures and everything, terrifying, doing the right thing by moving the game. I'm with Bo. You hate to see these type of things move location, but it's been done before. It's been done in Major League Baseball. It's been done in the NFL. And so, you know, I guess I'm just glad they have a contingency plan to be able to, you know, get this one in.
Staying out west, the 49ers are motivated to get Brock Purdy's extension done quickly. So Kyle Shanahan and Purdy have made it clear that they intend to reach an agreement and also, of course, with General Manager John Lynch with the hope that it will be done sooner than later. And so this is what Lynch had to say. I think what we know about Brock is that he's our guy. We have an interest in Brock being around here for a long, long time. He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games. Had a little tougher task, as we all did this year, with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the season. So, statement went on, but
I'd be curious to see what the zeros look like on this one. I think Brock Purdy is a very good quarterback. I also think Kyle Shanahan is the perfect head coach, offensive mind for what he's kind of trying to do. So I'm not saying hometown discount, but I don't think he's going to be paid like a Dak Prescott. I don't think you're going to get that kind of money. I'll be curious to see where it lands. You're going to pay him like a, you know, upper half of the league starter, but I can't imagine that, you know, he's the kind of guy that's like, well, let me get to free agency. I'm going to break the bank. It just seems like this is kind of the perfect marriage, and it would work out for all sides if you don't become the top paid quarterback in the NFL. So I'll be curious to see where those zeros are at.
We're going to get you set for the college football playoffs later on, but up next, handing out those season grades again. Mike used to work in education, so this is fitting. Falcons defensive backs. What are they getting? That's next when we return here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift, and we are handing out some more grades for the Atlanta Falcons after this season came to an end on Sunday after that loss to the Panthers. So we can start with the corners. And D. Alford is up. So what grade are you guys handing him?
Man, that's heavy. You want to go first on this one? I'll go first. Because I think this one's a tough one, and I'm not trying to opt out of this. And I think that you know we had the opportunity to do this, obviously, a number of times yesterday, guys that were involved in the passing game, wide receivers, quarterbacks. And it can be tough because you do feel like there's obviously, anytime you play a position, there's multi-facets of those positions, right?
Do me a favor. Don't give your grade yet. On him when you're talking. Go ahead and finish, but don't give me a grade because I think D. Alford's the hardest one to
he
grade.
Is. I completely agree. And I think a lot of the way I feel about D. Alford giving grades out comes from what I kind of expected of him. This is a guy who you wondered what the role would be. Obviously, he had ins and outs last year. And when you look at like Clark Phillips, Mike Hughes, you looked at those guys, like who's going to be the nickel, who's going to start outside, you know, is one the third and one is not the third. If you remember, we thought whoever lost the outside corner battle would slide into the nickel, and then it was D. Alford, and he was able to do a number of different things that you felt really good about. D. Alford makes a lot of different plays that you don't feel like a lot of people make in the NFL. But then there's times that the camera's on him and he's running around in circles, like he's, you know, trying to find a fly ball in the sunlight, and it's frustrating to watch. So I won't give my grade out because Bo doesn't want me to just yet. But I would say that it just depends on what facet you're looking at in their game and how well you feel like they fit the scheme this year. But he was frustrating to watch. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and I said that because I thought early in the season he was pretty good. I thought he was really good early in the season, which is funny because it was when the defense was its worst. There was a stat out there, and I'm not going to be able to get it 100% accurate because it's off the top of my head, but something like with the quarterback rating when you were throwing, or the passer efficiency rating or some crap, like one of those stats was like 120 when throwing at D. Alford.
Oh, gosh.
And like Lamar Jackson's, who threw like 43 touchdowns and 4 picks, this season's was like 118.
Right.
Okay.
So you're telling me that the quarterbacks are MVPs when they're throwing.
Yes.
At D. Alford.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, look, the guy finished with somewhere around 80 tackles and 11 pass defended and a forced fumble. He was.
That stuff is what makes it harder.
No, the 80 tackles is because that's when he's.
I know.
But what makes it hard for me is when he was in there. Early in the season, their pass defense wasn't as bad as you would think it was, right? Now, but part of the problem is you're playing so far off. And that's the whole problem about judging the secondary
the whole group, I agree.
Is because you played so far off all year until a certain point, then you tightened up. And other than one game before Carolina, because I'm throwing the Carolina game out because of, I do believe that team would have played differently had they been – I did won the Washington game. Now, it's not an excuse. I feel like it was a little bit of, I don't know what happened, but the Vikings game was the only one where they really looked out of sorts after the bye. And they just looked like they were lost.
Well, that's also when they came around as far as the defensive front goes. They did tighten up a little bit, and all of a sudden the sacks started coming.
Chargers, Vikings, Raiders,
yep.
Giants.
All those.
Washington. But I said that to tell you that passer rating number, when you threw it D. Alford, that's bad. That's really bad. And this is a hometown kid. And he came, they picked him up, and he came from, he was in the CFL, and then he comes over and he plays and he makes a spot for himself. And I like him, but I don't know how it's anything other than a D. You just can't, because there were moments where, now again, though, this is the problem for me. You line him up 7 yards deep in the slot. What the hell is he supposed to do?
Yeah, and honestly, what's funny about it is when I started looking at these corner grades, I didn't say like run or pass it almost felt to me like there's a different grade being given when they're asked to actually make a play in the first 2 or 3 seconds of after the snap.
Yeah.
Like if it's like within the first 2 or 3 seconds after a snap, a lot of times, and Mike Hughes is definitely this guy, but it obviously fell off towards the end of the year after the bye week, to your point. But how many times did you say them play off coverage, quarterback would come out and throw like a now ball, like, I mean, get it out of his hands, and Mike Hughes, D. Alford, A.J. Terrell would come up and make a tackle in space, and you'd be like, man, what a great tackle.
And that's the problem, though. I think the biggest issue for me with D. Alford is when they did come up and play tighter, he got worse.
Yeah.
His worst game of the year was against Washington, where Alamide Zaccheaus, who was a guy that was I think he has more catches than anyone in the history of the University of Virginia. Okay. And he played here. We remember him. And I don't think he got the ball enough when he was here. But he's not McLaurin up there, right?
Right.
And he lit us up and he lit D up.
Yeah.
And so
is conundrum probably the right word? You guys are having a bit of
No, it's you try to be fair, I think, because I'm with Bo. I think it's a D grade, and I'm not going to sit here and act like not only that, but nickel is different than it's ever been in the NFL
right now. And it's one of the hardest positions to play.
It is. Playing nickel is one of the toughest positions in the NFL right now because you are essentially a plus in the box count, especially against a guy like Jaden Daniels.
I'm interested in y'all's take. I almost feel like you have to be a bigger body dude, yet still have the fast twitch quickness. Like, I mean, D. Alford's 5'11", 180. Imagine if he was 6'1", 200, but was still quick enough and had the twitchy enough and the loose hips, not stiff hips. And I don't think he has stiff hips, but that size didn't basically take away agility and quickness from him, and he could still move with those little smaller guys. Because then you can come up and whammy, right?
No, I'm with you, man. I'm right at D+. It is what it is. I think that's a spot that they would. I think in the future they'll definitely be looking to upgrade that spot.
All right, let's move on to Mike Hughes. How are you feeling about him? You mentioned his name just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, Mike Hughes. Again, I feel like it's back and forth. Now his is more definitely between pass and run. I feel like, and it didn't end up being this way the last 3 weeks, but early in the season we completely praised his ability to make open field tackles. Like when the receivers were getting the balls and that off coverage, Mike Hughes was rolling up, making great tackles. You go back to, and I can't remember, maybe the Eagles game, some of the early games of the year, and you're like, wow, that was crazy.
Kansas City game.
But it was like his ability to backpedal, see the ball come out, stick his foot in the ground, drive on the ball, make a tackle. It was great. The more you move throughout the season, the more I feel like all these guys, and both outside corners are different because we play so much cover three that a lot of times those guys are just bailing at the snap, dropping into their deep third, trying to react to what's coming underneath them. It's a tough spot. I'm not going to sit here and act like that Mike Hughes is just getting burned in man coverage. That's not what was happening. But towards the end of the year, all these guys started missing more and more tackles, and that's frustrating. So I don't think Mike Hughes was bad this year. I'm sitting somewhere at a B+. C+, B-. But again, he's not a difference maker at that spot a lot of times. And it did start to fall off toward the end of the year once you started getting away more and more from what your cover three base was.
And was never asked to be a difference maker, I didn't feel like. I agree with the grade. I think that's where I'm at grade-wise. I would add in, again, you can take it how you want. I'm not using an excuse, but his tackling and how he came up and played the run decreased when he got banged up a lot throughout the last half of the season. And I thought it hurt him, but I thought he played okay when they did ask him to come up and do some of that stuff.
Is he a guy that's better suited for the nickel spot?
That's kind of
where I'm looking at the
future. Well, I was about to say I would feel a lot better about it if I could kind of upgrade that outside corner position a little bit while moving Mike Hughes inside to that nickel, because I thought he played well late in the season in 23 in the nickel position.
On to Clark Phillips now, as we are kind of a little bit time.
He's another one that's difficult, and it goes back to the D-offered stuff where you thought one thing about him coming in. I thought he had a good rookie year. I thought he ended the year extremely strong. It's obvious that Clark Phillips is a competitor. It's obvious that he has quick twitch, but he's got some limitations due to the frame, and we knew that. If he didn't have limitations with the frame, there's no way he would have been a fourth rounder here. Right, you'd have been talking about a second round, first round type of corner, the way he, played in colleges and all the things that he was able to do at Utah. So, tough grade to get. I'm probably somewhere along, maybe a little bit lesser, maybe just a flat out C, a little bit lesser than a Mike Hughes. And again, what is he being asked to do? What is he capable of? What are the spots he's being put in? And more times than not, he was being put into spots this year because of injury, because he was not in that top three rotation as a nickel or an outside guy. So he was coming in just kind of doing what he could do. Wasn't like that he was getting all those reps in practice either. So I'm right at about a C. I'm sure that he's probably wanting to play a little bit better next season, and hopefully we'll see that.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much. I really, my biggest moment where I was – the only time I've really, really been frustrated with Clark is against Carolina, where he's 7 yards deep in the end zone and doesn't move when Bryce Young starts running towards the end zone past the line of scrimmage. I need to see more out of him. I'm also interested in why we haven't – why I guess he just can't play the nickel at all because he don't even get a run there. And to me, it seems like it's perfect for him.
All right, we'll put a bow on this later on in the show because we did not get to A.J. Terrell. I know you guys wanted to go in-depth on some of this. We will also hit the safeties as well. But when we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you set for Penn State and Notre Dame. It's the game for the Fighting Mike Contis as he gets set to watch his Nittany Lions in action tonight in the college football playoff semifinals. That is next year. We'll be right back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The college football playoff semifinals begin tonight. Of course, Penn State and Notre Dame. And Dukes and Bell will be breaking down all of the action at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. So make sure to come down and join them today from 2 to 7 p.m. for a special college football preview show brought to you by Dos Equis. Go for Dos. It's all at Twin Peaks in Buckhead this Thursday. So lots to look forward to tonight. There is that. And then the actual game itself between Penn State and Notre Dame.
Yeah, as you're getting your chains on your tires or whatever preparation you're getting for the snow, the ice, and everything else that'll be coming overnight and into tomorrow's morning hours. Make sure you find a cozy spot to curl up and watch a little CFP semifinal.
Just be careful hitting your brakes, guys. Don't slam on your brakes or slam on your gas if you think there's ice. That's how you spin and slide.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's like drive. I always thought.
Throw it in low four or what are you going to do? Yeah.
It depends on if I'm on the highway, it's high four.
Yeah.
I'm on the back. If I'm on a regular, like a...
I just figured, cowboy like you, you're always street. On the side roads, you know what I mean?
Did you ever go, back in the day, did you ever go mudding? Did you ever take your truck off-road?
Yeah, well, that's... I was like, I don't want to tell this story, but when you say, did you ever take your truck off-road? I didn't drive a truck.
Right. You drive a Geo Tracker.
I had to lock in hubcaps on the Geo Tracker when I was 16.
Mike's the only person.
You know what I mean?
Had to
get out.
That?
Had to get out and hit
the
little knob.
You had to like turn the knob.
Do I remember? I drove one. What are you talking about?
No,
I remember that.
But they weren't the only ones. Like
You had to lock in the hubs.
Hey, I don't know about you guys that are maybe like 22, 23, but this push button four-wheel drive crap, that blank didn't exist back in like 1995.
And a 92 Geo Tracker with a drop top, man, the rag top.
You were not driving in 95.
No, but I was riding with people four-wheel drives in 95. Yeah. I drove in 90.
It's all about that. It's always about the year the car was made.
But that, yeah, exactly. So you'd have to get out and be, I think we're about to get some mud. Hold on a second. Put that thing. Yeah. What are you doing? Locking into hubcaps. Hold on.
I got to get out for a second. Hold on.
But I had someone fight. Someone was like, that's not in any way true. And I was like, really? Have you ever driven in the mud? They're like, well, no. And I'm like, I always thought driving in the, when you really went to a good mud hole, where, I mean, it was like some slick-ish, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's like driving in ice. Because if you hammer the gas, you spin. And if you hammer the brakes, you slide.
Right.
And so that's what it is for me. But no, I'm not an expert. I'm just driven around in ice storms.
I've never
just
been mudding before.
Just a driving. Jam.
Well, I really grew up in Gwinnett County back in the day when it was a little more countrified.
Really don't appreciate the disrespect. I did not go mudding, but I do know what it is
because
I grew up in Gwinnett County.
It's so much fun. But you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and tell you something. You ain't ever getting all the mud out of your truck.
Dude, I still have mud on my wheel wells from Wilkesboro last May.
Yeah, you can never
get it off. I've pressure washed it, done everything.
Dylan, your face. Have you heard of mudding?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your face just looked like...
No, he went to West laughing. Georgia. He's heard of mud.
I heard of mud in high school. I had friends in high school that went mud when they could drive.
It's a good time.
Your face was reading a different story.
I've seen cars by me on the highway. Like, yep, they just got done mud.
Dylan's like, I'm a youth, but I've seen.
If you're from Kennesaw, there was a Kroger on 41. It's called Butler Creek Kroger because right behind it was Butler Creek, and it used to be just woods, and that was where, I had some friends when I went to Harrison High School. And first year or two at Kennesaw State, we'd go behind Butler Creek Kroger when it was still a little bit undeveloped.
Let her dig.
Just let her eat, man.
Yeah, don't do that tonight if you're trying to watch
the
CFP.
No, well, then you won't have anything to do with it. You'll be burning rubber because it ain't coming till the morning. But anyways, I digress. Yes, Tiffany, please.
Yes, back to the actual matchup. But this will be in the trenches, kind of like, you battle it out when you are mudding.
Or you hope to not beat it tomorrow morning.
Well, here's the way I'm coming at it. You guys both tell me how you feel about it. Would you rather be coming off a game like Notre Dame where you just played Georgia where it was very physical? Not that the other one wasn't, but it feels like you were playing a matchup that was very even, or a matchup Penn State where they just played a Boise, shout out to Dirt Cutter. A Boise that you feel like you just had to go deal with business.
I get what you're asking because one probably prepares you for knowing you're going to be in a physical game. The other, on the other side of it, your body's probably not as taxed, physically taxed.
Yeah.
as it would be going into the game. I'd probably take that. I'd probably take being a little less
take
maybe
the victory where you cruised at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's fair.
From a physical standpoint.
The days off. I mean, Notre Dame had 6 days off, essentially five, really, if you think about it. And then Penn State had the extra 2 days, so that comes in. I do think there's something about being battle tested, because you just kind of you just went through it, and you're in one of those deals where Penn State. I mean, dude, come on, we just saw Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you walk up and you take the first spot. You take the first couple snaps, and I don't know. You've been in those trenches. I didn't play at that level, or really at all, to be honest with you. And you'd be like,
love it when you're
you'd be like, dog, we just went against Georgia. You ain't.
Well, that's my thing. Is like one of these teams cruised and got the I don't want to say take reps off. That sounds disrespectful. That's not what I mean. But you weren't stressed to the end of that game. You played an opponent that was lesser, and you took care of business. So kudos to you. But another team, and I think Notre Dame probably feels this way, back against the wall. I'm about to have to bare knuckle my brawl my way out of this situation. Well, and there's a lot to be said about that as well.
And think about it, that Georgia had a week off, plays Notre Dame. Notre Dame did play
exactly
against Indiana.
Exactly.
Now, Indiana's not Georgia, and Indiana's not Penn State in the trenches. But they were a college football playoff team. So, and both these teams their success, they're kind of like the 2021 Georgia team. They didn't have nowhere near the caliber of defense that 21 Georgia team is, but they play well enough on defense, and when they get those moments offensively where their defense creates something, they put points on the board, and that's their formula for winning right now.
Yeah.
So sticking with the trenches, because you're going to need great line play out of Notre Dame if you're going to pave the way for Jeremiah Love. And according to Coach Marcus Freeman, he will be good to go against Penn State. So, and he had been dealing, he re-aggravated a knee injury in the previous game.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. When he's down the field, it's an unfortunate situation. But this, and we said this yesterday a little bit, this game to me is played, while the other game will be played out wide, this one be played between, and I hate saying the word between the tackles because it's never what I mean, but I always say between the tight ends. This will be played between the tight ends. And look, I think it's not that I don't think there'll be plays being made out wide. There will. We've seen that. But this is a game where you have to keep track of the quarterback and you have to do a number of things necessary to stop the run game and try to wrestle away time of possession in these style of games because it's very physical. It's hard to break contain. That's why I always say outside of the tight end, and they're going to be played through, through the face mask of like a linebacker, if you will. And it's going to be a physical matchup. I look forward to it, man. I think this is going to be going. I'm definitely looking forward to Notre Dame, Penn State more so than I think I am Texas, Ohio State, even though the brands are bigger, probably facing off against each other on that end.
Well, and Notre Dame's a three-headed monster when it comes to the running game. You got Riley Leonard, you got Jadarian Price, and you got Love, and I think all three of those guys are capable and able if Notre Dame can move the line of scrimmage. And Penn State wants to run the ball as well, but they're a little bit different because Aller can run, but he's not. He wasn't even the guy that they used a lot to run at quarterback. And then you have Tyler Warren. To me, Tyler Warren is the guy.
X factor.
He's going to line up outside. He's going to line up at tight end. He's going to line up at quarterback. He might even line up at or he'll line up at running back as well, and even they use him in that H-back kind of thing too. I mean, like Tyler Warren is an X-factor. He to me is their best player on offense.
He's a matchup nightmare.
But now the thing for me, what's Abdul Carter? Is there an update on Abdul Carter? Because remember he wasn't at practice early in the week. James Franklin was kind of noncommittal on it. What he's going to be, and he is talk about X-factor.
Is Jesse.
They didn't run the ball against Boise State, I should say, didn't run the ball against Penn State until Abdul Carter was out of the game. Ashton Jeanty got his yards when Abdul Carter was done, right? They had then taken him off. So that to me is can that guy play? And that's the top 10 draft pick right there, most likely.
Did y'all ever think in a million years we'd be talking about a college football playoff semifinal, round of four, where Penn State was probably the fourth place among brands? In a college football playoff semifinal. Hey, and that's crazy to think about because they're a top 10 brand in college football.
Did you see the map of the poll?
No.
There was a poll done of who America's pulling for. And it's kind of wild because it's done in colors, and the map is pretty much green, right? Which, and it, that's representing the fact of Notre Dame. There's Notre Dame is such a, we hate Notre Dame here, but they're such a natural, a national brand. So the map is almost entirely green, other than a little island off Minnesota, which I guess is part of Michigan. And then there's obviously Pennsylvania, that's Penn State, and then somehow Hawaii is going to pull for Penn State. And then you have Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, who are all pulling for Texas. And then Ohio is pulling for Ohio State.
How much of it were Notre Dame, everybody's pulling for Notre Dame, do you think it's the like Braves TBS thing or the Cubs WGN thing?
For Notre Dame? Yeah. Oh, it's
but massive, right?
But see, Notre Dame was has been a national brand since
long before that.
30s, the 40s, right? The 40s. Because I mean, you know, You go through, and there's so many people that are from so many parts of the country that pull for Notre Dame. I think some of that's the fact that they were the big Catholic school, right? And so a lot of people resonate with that. But Bet Online did the map. And so I just thought it was interesting because pretty much the entire country is pulling for Notre Dame, other than little sections that are pulling for Texas and Penn State, and then Ohio is pulling for Ohio State.
Who do you think
so everybody hates
who
them.
Do you think the city of Atlanta is pulling for?
Well, it says Texas here.
Saying that whole map.
That map says Georgia.
Basically, the Southeast is going for Texas.
I would say, even though they don't want to admit it, there's a lot of people that are Georgia fans or SEC fans are pulling for Texas just because
it just feels weird, dude. I'm not ready to go that
route. We talked about it this morning. I think it's weird, too.
I'm pulling for Penn State.
To me, the SEC's out of it.
Yeah. At the risk of being like a dial-on and being a suck-up to management, this is not for Mike Conte. I'm pulling for Penn State. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they just are the team that I wish would get to the next level.
Dylan, you caught a...
Well, he knows that stray's coming.
Gave you the biggest...
She just called you a company man, bro.
I know. I think it's funny. No, because he said he loves
fits
it.
Wear it.
And he said he loves it, and then he took a shot at dialogue, telling him he was kissing up to management.
Mike, you still a little bit sour from yesterday. I mean, don't tell me you're still a little bit sour from yesterday when you lost fair and square. Don't tell me that.
You literally make the decision whether or not I lose, and you have just claimed it to be fair and square.
It was fair and square.
Okay, cool.
All right, man.
Wow, man. You look like you...
It's just Mike still in his feelings. It's all right. I'll let him harvest his feelings.
Do you all have a team that you're pulling for in the CFP semifinal round? Like one that, like, not pulling for him, but like one that you're like, I wouldn't mind it.
I hate all of them, so I don't really care. I hate all four teams.
I would say any of the three other than Ohio State. I don't know why. I just don't.
I just watch.
I grew up for a hatred of Notre Dame, and I grew up for a hatred of Ohio State, and I grew up with a hatred of Texas, and Penn State was lesser, but I've never hated Penn State like the rest of them. But I didn't like them either. I mean, the only time I used to pull for Notre Dame is when they'd play Florida State. That's how bad I don't like them.
Tiff, I thought that you would go along the line. I thought your answer to that question would be, I pull for players, not teams. And this player on this team is one that I'm really rooting for.
I did have Penn's. I did enjoy our time with Drew Aller. I thought he was great in our meetings. I have not done anything Notre Dame related. I've had Texas before and Sark.
I think we've got your answer.
But none of the players that I had, you know?
I think we've got your answer. I think we've pulled it out of
any,
you.
I don't have any.
You know what? If Ryan Day wouldn't dye his beard from now to the championship game, I could pull for them.
Stop. Stop.
You're probably be coloring your hair soon.
You're such a hater.
No, I'm going to go. Hey, I'm going to be a silver fox. What are you talking about?
We'll be right back here on the morning shift. Continue to hand out those grades for position groups. We're hitting safeties next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.